Let's start this morning, James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Let's pray. Father, we come into your presence now, and we ask you to help us as we preach the word of God. Lord, I pray that you'd touch hearts, that you'd move in our midst, that you'd open our eyes, and help us, Lord, to understand. Help us not only to be made aware of the wiles of the wicked one, but help us to know how to stand against him. Teach us and instruct us through the working of your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday morning, I explained that Satan and his demons are real, and we are in a spiritual warfare with them. And we looked at the tactics and strategies that Satan uses against us. We talked about how Satan is a deceiver and a tempter. And we talked about the fact that our enemy is after us, and we better be alert. Now, this morning, I'm going to provide you with a strategy. A strategic plan that we can use to conquer Satan and his troops. And the first step in that plan is this. In order to defeat Satan, we must turn to God for victory. Time and time again, the Bible instructs us to rely upon God to deliver us from our enemy. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. And one part of that prayer says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And it's talking about being delivered from the evil that the evil one would lead us into through temptation. And according to that verse, the only one who can deliver us from evil and deliver us from the evil one is our Father who is in heaven. And that's why James 4, 7 writes these words. James writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." See, before we can ever resist the devil, we must submit to God. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11, the Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles," that is, against the tricks and schemes of the devil. It's clear from these three passages that if we want to defeat Satan, we must rely upon God. And the reason why we need God's strength and help in battling Satan is because we as humans are powerless when it comes to battling Satan alone. We are no match for him on our own. He is too strong for us to fight alone. We need God's strength to help us to conquer Satan. In a book called The Encourager by Charles Mylander, he shares this story. He says, "Sunrise was dawning when Los Angeles motorcycle police officer Bob Vernon saw a red pickup truck speed through a stop sign. So he turned on his emergency lights and radioed that he was in pursuit. Well, shortly the pickup pulled over and the officer approached. But meanwhile, in the truck, the driver thought, 'Oh no, the cops already know.' You see, just a few minutes before that, he had robbed a 24-hour convenience store. And with the sack of money sitting on the seat next to him, he grabbed for the gun that he had used just a few moments before to rob that store. And as the officer approached, he started to say, "Good morning, sir. May I see your..." And he never finished the sentence. The driver shoved his gun towards the policeman's chest and fired from just inches away, and that cop was knocked flat on his back 7 feet away. Well, a few seconds later, to the shock of the criminal, the officer stood up, pulled his service revolver out, and fired twice. The first bullet went through the open window and shattered the windshield, and the second tore through the door and ripped into the driver's left leg. "Don't shoot!" the thief screamed, throwing the gun and the sack of money out of the pickup truck window. And what saved the policeman's life was dozens of little layers of something called Kevlar, the super strong fabric used for bulletproof vests. Only 3/8 of an inch thick, Kevlar can stop bullets cold. Well, in Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible instructs every Christian to put on the whole armor of God. And that is because only God can shield us from the deadly bullets of temptation that Satan fires at us. When you're under spiritual attack, when you are being tempted to sin, or an evil thought crosses your mind tempting you to do the wrong thing, what you need to do is go to God in prayer and ask Him to help you to defeat it. If you're angry and you're about to say something really ugly, go to God in prayer and ask Him for help to keep you from doing it. If you're about to lust over another human being, go to God in prayer and ask Him for help to keep you from following through on that. If you're about to gossip about someone, go to God in prayer and ask Him to help you stop it. Go to God in prayer and ask Him to give you the strength to overcome the sin. And when you ask, I promise you that He will help you escape the temptation. He makes us this promise in 1 Corinthians 10:13. He says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." That is, everybody gets tempted. There's no temptation given you, such as is common to man. But God will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. The devil, he may tempt you, but God will always, always give you an escape route. And so when temptation comes, ask God to give you the strength and the wisdom to take the escape route. And so to defeat Satan, we must first turn to God. We need God's assistance to win the war against Satan and his troops. Now, secondly, to defeat Satan, we must resist him. We read that right in James 4:7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The Greek word translated resist means to take a stand against, or to oppose. Resisting Satan means opposing him, turning away from him, and having nothing to do with him and nothing to do with the temptations that he throws at us. A great passage of scripture that we should use to resist the devil is Titus 2:13, where it tells us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, let us live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Unfortunately, too often, we say maybe to sin instead of an outright no. And leaving the option open for us to say yes causes a lot of trouble. You see, that's not the way to resist Satan or his temptations. Let me ask you this. Have you ever had a salesperson try to sell you something at your front door, and you didn't want to appear rude and just shove him off the porch and tell him, no, I don't want what you have? So what you did was you told him, well, you know, come back later when my spouse is home and maybe we can talk about it then. Well, you thought you got rid of him. Guess what? Since you told that salesperson maybe instead of no, I guarantee you that he or she will come back probably later that same night to make the sale. Salespeople are persistent. Well, if we say maybe to sin and maybe to the devil, then I guarantee you he will keep coming back until we say no or until we give in and yield to his temptation. And so to resist sin and the devil, we must say a firm no, and we must shut the door. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27 says, neither give place to the devil. Don't give him an inch, not an inch. One time, I heard a missionary to Haiti tell this story. It seems that a certain man wanted to sell his house for $2,000. Well, another man wanted very badly to buy it, but because he was poor, he couldn't afford the full price. And so after much bargaining, the owner agreed to sell the house for half the original price. He was going to sell it for $1,000 with just one stipulation. He would retain ownership of one small nail hanging just over the front door. They could have the house for $1,000, but he would retain ownership of that one little nail hanging over the front door. Well, after several years, the original owner wanted the house back, but the new owner was unwilling to sell. So the first owner went out and found the carcass of a dead dog and hung it from the nail that he still owned hanging over the front door. Well, you can only imagine what happened to the carcass of a dead dog in the Haitian heat. And very soon that house became unlivable. And guess what? That family finally decided to sell that house back to that original owner, the one who had the dog hanging from the nail. And my point is this: if we leave one small sin in our lives, or if we, you know, leave a maybe there, to sin in our lives, the devil will return, causing us misery. We got to resist Satan, and if we do, God's promise is he will flee from us. That's God's promise to us, and I guarantee you, God's promises do not fail. They do not fail. Now, third, to defeat Satan, we need to go on spiritual offense instead of spiritual defense. At times, we get caught up playing defense with Satan. We stand back hoping that he'll leave us alone. We wait for him to make all the moves. But what we need to do is we need to turn the tables and go after Satan. We must attack Satan when he attacks us. And of course, the ultimate weapons to use for offense are the Word of God and the power of Jesus' name. When Jesus was being tempted by Satan, as recorded in Matthew 4, he stopped Satan cold in his tracks by moving from defense to offense. He began to conquer Satan by the power and the authority of God's word. Now, I know we read it last week, but I want us to go back and read that passage again, Matthew chapter 4, because this morning I just want to point out a little something different that I didn't point out last week. Matthew chapter 4, please. Beginning in verse 1, reread, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said," now notice what he does, "'It is written.'" He quotes the word of God. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written.'" Now the devil quotes a verse of scripture here. "He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hand shall they bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." And what you may not realize is the devil quotes it improperly. He is not quoting the whole passage there when he quotes it. So he quotes an improper passage, a twisted passage. "And then Jesus said unto him, 'It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.'" He comes at him with the word of God. "Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, 'All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me.' Then saith Jesus unto him, 'Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.' Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." Jesus resisted the devil's temptations by the power and the authority of the word of God. He turned from defense to offense. He went from being pursued to being the pursuer. He used the word of God to attack Satan. See, God's word is the sword that we're to use in combat. In Ephesians 6:17, the word of God is called the sword of the Spirit. It's the sword that we are to use in combat. You see, when you quote scripture, what it does is it disarms the fleshly desire to sin, it disarms the temptation, and it disarms the devil. And that's why I'm always saying that we need to memorize scripture so that we can defeat Satan. We need to get it in our heart, because I'll guarantee you this: Satan is not going to tempt you while you're walking around with your Bible in your hand. He's going to wait till you're without your Bible to send the temptation. But if you've got Bible memorized, then technically you are never without the Word of God. You always have the Word of God with you. We need to memorize Scripture so we can defeat Satan. The Bible says in Psalm 119:11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." We need to hide God's word in our heart. You know what? As I said last week, the devil and his cohorts, they watch us. They know what our weaknesses are, and they are going to throw temptations at us based on those weaknesses. And whatever sin you're tempted to commit, I recommend this: whatever your weakness is, memorize a specific verse and use its power to defeat Satan. Let me give you an example. If you have a problem with your mouth, as a lot of people do, saying things you shouldn't say, whether it's harsh things or whether it's filthy things or whatever, if you have a problem with your mouth, you know what you need to do? You need to memorize Psalm 141, verse 3. "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and keep the door of my lips." And when you feel tempted to say something you should not say, you need to quote that over and over and over. Use it as a sword to fight off that temptation. Or how about like if Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Use the sword, use the Bible as the weapon that it was meant to be. Make use of the sword of the Spirit. Hebrews 4:12 says, "The word of God is quick," that means it's living, "and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." We need to memorize scripture so we can defeat Satan. And then let me say this. As a believer, not only are we to quote Scripture to defeat Satan, but we're to use the power of Jesus' name. And there is power in the name of Jesus. Remember, according to Philippians 2:9, His is the name that is above every name. It's the name through which we are saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Believers are forgiven in His name. 1 John 2:12, I write unto you little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Believers pray through His name. John 14:14. If you ask anything in My name, I will do it. Believers have life in His name. John 20:31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. And believers can defeat Satan and his troops in Jesus' name. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is wonder-working, life-changing, sin-cleansing, devil-defeating, death-defying, life-giving power in the name of Jesus. And that's why the Apostle Paul tells us in Colossians 3 and verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of Jesus. There is unlimited, unimaginable, unfathomable, unbelievable power in that name. I have seen miraculous things take place in people's lives when they've called on the name of Jesus. I've seen prostitutes become pure when they called on the name of Jesus. I've seen drug addicts delivered from their bondage when they called on the name of Jesus. I've seen drunks become sober when they called on the name of Jesus. I've seen young people delivered from rebellion when they called on the name of Jesus. I've seen wife beaters become loving, caring husbands when they called on the name of Jesus. I have a good friend who was a leader in one of the most dangerous and one of the most evil motorcycle gangs in the United States, worse than the Hell's Angels ever even thought to be. And today that man is an evangelist preaching the gospel around the country. Why? Because he called on the name of Jesus. I've seen homosexuals turned into heterosexuals when they called on the name of Jesus. I've seen chronically depressed people find joy and peace like they've never known when they called on the name of Jesus. I've seen sick people get healed when they called on the name of Jesus. I've seen some of the meanest people you ever met in your life become the sweetest people you ever met in your life when they called on the name of Jesus. And I know of a little boy named Brian Speroni who at the age of 12 had his direction of his life completely changed when he called on the name of Jesus. There is unlimited, unbelievable, unimaginable, unfathomable power in the name of Jesus. And if you're a believer in Jesus, then when you're tempted and you recognize that Satan is coming after you with his full artillery, then you have the privilege to go to the Father in prayer and ask Him to help you defeat Satan and his troops in the power of Jesus' name. See, whether you believe it or not, or you like it or not, if you're a Christian, you're in a spiritual warfare. And your enemy is out to ruin your life. And he's out to do all that he can to cause you to fall into sin. He's out to ruin your testimony for Christ. And he's out to ruin your influence when it comes to reaching people for Christ. And because of that, you must be alert and ready to fight. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary as a roaring lion walketh about. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Perhaps more than any other leader in the 20th century, Winston Churchill rallied a nation to believe in what it could do. His speeches during World War II not only expressed resolution, but a profound peace of mind, a feeling of rightness. Here are some of his words to England and the world at that time. He says, you ask, what is our policy? I say, it's to wage war by sea, land, and air with all our might and all the strength that God can give us. You ask, what is our aim? I can answer in one word, victory. Victory at all costs. Victory in spite of all terror. Victory however long and hard the road may be. For without victory, there is no survival. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender. And when it comes to the spiritual warfare, this should be our attitude as well. We must resolve that we will fight with all our hearts against Satan and his demons. We must resolve that we will never surrender. We must resolve that whatever it takes, we will have victory. And in order to have that victory and defeat Satan, we must do two things. We must turn to God for his power and strength. We cannot defeat the devil on our own, but our God is well able to handle him. In Jeremiah 32:17, it says, ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. So when the devil sends temptation your way, your job is to call upon the Lord for help. And his promise is this, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. See, in order to defeat Satan, the first thing we must do is turn to God for his power and his strength. And then secondly, we must resist the devil. We must go on spiritual offense and use the word of God as our weapon and the power of Jesus' name as our shield. This is important because this is the source of victory. The Apostle Paul certainly knew that. He actually rejoiced in it. 1 Corinthians 15:57, thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian, if you're in the midst of a battle with the wicked one and you're struggling to overcome, I invite you this morning, right now, to come to Jesus and place it in his hands and ask him to give you the strength, give you the power that you need to overcome. You cannot defeat Satan in your own strength, but you can do all things through the strength of the Christ who lives within you. And then let me say this, if you're not a Christian, you can't remember a time when you prayed and invited Jesus Christ into your life, then not only do you not have victory over the wicked one, you're on his side. You're in his family. But you don't need to stay there. If you will come to Christ today and receive him into your heart as your Savior, if you'll trust him and him alone for forgiveness and cleansing and eternal life, you can be delivered from sin. You can be delivered from the clutches of the wicked one. And I would just plead with you and beg you this morning to take care of this matter today. Don't let the devil deceive you into thinking that you got plenty of time to come to Christ, because you don't know that. You don't know that. You don't even have the promise that you're going to be around here to see tomorrow. Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Tomorrow may be too late. And so you need to come to Christ today. You need to pay heed to the advice of the great prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah 55:6, he said, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." You need to open your heart to Christ and invite him in today while you still have the opportunity. And I plead with you and I beg you, don't wait another minute. Right now, receive the victory that can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom God has highly exalted and given a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things on earth, things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There is victory over sin. There is victory over Satan through the power of the Word of God and through the power of the name of Jesus. I'm going to have Roger come right now. Betty, if you'll come to the piano, I want us to sing about that name. If you'll take your hymn book and turn to 227, we're going to sing "There's Something About That Name." And as we sing, let me just say to you that the altar is open. We always use the front two pews as an altar of prayer to meet with Jesus. If you just feel like you need to come and kneel before God and talk to him, maybe you're looking for victory and you've been struggling with it, come this morning and give it to him. Don't wait another moment, Christian, to put that in God's hands. And if you're not a Christian, but you'd like to know some more about it, well, we invite you to step out of your seat too, and I'll meet you right down here, and I'll shake your hand, and I'll be glad to take you to this blessed old book and show you how you can know that your sins are forgiven, how you can know that Christ is in your heart, how you can know you're on your way to heaven, because I believe God wants you to know that, and we would count it a privilege to help you with that. And so this invitation is open. If God has spoken to your heart, we invite you to come as we sing "There's Something About That Name." Roger, if you'll come.
Let's all stand.